This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7, The Game.
Pajewski will dribble this out, and the Warriors get beat by 25 on the home floor. Final is 130-105. Golden State will fall back to 500 and will try to end the homestand with a win on Monday to head on the road for six games above 500 and try to get something going on the road.
Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you after a Warriors loss at home. Final score, Suns 130, Warriors 105. The loss puts the Warriors right back at 500, 24-24. The Warriors haven't really been able to make any ground getting above 500. They get a game over, they go back to 500, they fall the game below, they get back to 500. It has been a pretty painful month. Essentially, the entire month of January, the Warriors either 500, a game over, or a game under. In fact, they were 18-16 at one point, the Warriors were. Since then, they have been 18-18 because they lost consecutive games after they were 18-16. They have been 18-18. They've been 19-19. They've been 20-20. They've been 21-21, 22-22, 23-23, and now 24-24. This is a team that cannot get any positive momentum going. On the flip side, it's not entirely falling apart. They are still, again, just been hovering around 500. But you want to try to get fat as much as you can and get four above, get five above, get six above, and get yourself up into the play-in and then up out of the play-in, because right now the Warriors are not even in the play-in tournament as they hang out in 11th place in the Western Conference. If they had won, they would have jumped up to 9 because the Kings idol tied with the Warriors entering the night, and a team that was half a game ahead of you was in town tonight, and the Phoenix Sun beats you head-to-head, so you are now sitting even further back in 11th place in the Western Conference. And again, that means if the season were to end today, which of course it does not, the Warriors would not even make the play-in tournament. As they get handled by Kevin Durant and the Suns, again, the final score 130-105. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up. on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center as we pick through the pieces from this one. As always, you're welcome to join the conversation. I got my eyes on the text line, 888-957-9570, the 707, the 510, the 925 chiming in. You can also give me a call at that same number and join the conversation yourself, 888-957-9570. And of course, the chat is back on YouTube, so if you want to join the conversation there as well, you can do so, youtube.com/957thegame. I already see the chat beginning to take shape there on YouTube. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Friday evening. Again, the final score, Suns 130, Warriors 105. What stood out in this one was Stephen Curry couldn't really get going, and not just that he was missing shots, he really wasn't missing shots for the majority of the first half. He wasn't even taking shots. The Warriors kept it relatively close through the first 24 minutes. At the end of the first quarter, they were only down 3. At halftime, they were down 11, but this was relatively competitive through the majority of the first half. But Steph Curry did not take his first shot until nearly 7 minutes into this basketball game. It was a lot of healed early. There was some Wiggins as well early. Wiggins ultimately had himself a pretty good game. Healed had himself maybe the best first half he's played as a Warrior. Best half he's played as a Warrior in like 2 months. He was really good in the first half. Oddly though, he only played 3 minutes in the second half and did not attempt a single shot. He finally got his shot going. Buddy Hield did. In the first half, he had 13 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 5 from downtown. That's also his final stat line. Did not record a single point or shot attempt in the second half in only 3 minutes and 28 seconds on the court. There were some defensive lapses, no doubt, but a game where you shoot... What did the Warriors shoot in this one? They only shot 37.5% from the field. This felt like a game where you had Buddy Hield going in the first half. You got to try to squeeze as many points out of this lineup as possible. And for the first time in a while, Hield was making his threes. I felt like he kind of needed a little bit more of that, but the Warriors, for whatever reason, did not play him much in the second half, and he could not contribute at all without many minutes. Really, it was Andrew Wiggins, but he was an extreme volume shooter. He led the way with 17 points. Moses Moody had 17 as well off the bench. Moody, pretty consistently now, is scoring in double figures. This is his 8th time in double figures in his last 9 games. The one thing about Moses Moody, and I think that this points to an overall larger issue for the Warriors on offense, Moses Moody is one of the few players on the Warriors that isn't shy when he gets the ball. And he's not afraid of taking a shot. He's not afraid of putting the ball on the floor and driving. I think the better way to put it maybe is Moses Moody is pretty decisive when the ball is in his hands. And he commits to doing it the second that he gets the ball. And he's, you know, for better or worse, is going to go do it. This is a Warrior team and a Warrior roster, I think, that is kind of filled with guys that have a tendency to at times second-guess themselves. And I think specifically today we saw examples of that for Brandon Pajemski and Gary Payton II. There was a moment near the end of the first half, maybe it was midway in the second quarter, it was in the first half when Brandon Pajemski had the ball up top and decided to try to drive on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, though, was trying to force him right because Pajemski, a left-hander, loves to drive left, and Durant cut him off. Pajemski kept trying to go at him, even though he got denied every single time. Ultimately, kind of got tripped and was forced into trying to throw the ball to a teammate, but it got knocked away and stolen. Pajemski just kind of awkwardly fell down, and Durant was there standing over the top of him, just staring at him like, what was that, dude? Resulted in a turnover and a bucket the other way for Phoenix. There was another moment in that same second quarter where I think it was a Pajemski drive, and he kind of got caught in the air under the basket, throws a wild pass to the right corner for Curry, who makes a nice leaping catch just to avoid the turnover. A couple of defenders collapse on him. Curry passes to the right wing to GP2, and GP2 is wide open, absolutely wide open. There is nobody within like 15 feet of him, and no one even makes an effort to run at him. What GP2 does oftentimes when he's that open is he kind of takes a rhythm dribble. He'll take a dribble if he has the time and try to line it up. He didn't that time, but you could tell he was hesitant to shoot. He waited a second. Then he kind of started the shooting motion, and then he thought better of it and tried to drive and got blocked at the rim by Mason Plumlee. And that's just a couple of examples of hesitation, I think, that some of these Warriors players have on offense. And it's why, as we approach the trade deadline, now less than 6 days away, next Thursday, 6 days from now, but it's noon on Thursday, so, you know, 6 days minus 10 hours is the trade deadline. It's why I think before that time comes, the Warriors are going to make a move that brings in someone with a little bit more consistent offensive ability, and specifically is a threat, and is a player that can is decisive with the ball in his hands, and a player that demands respect from opposing defenses, because right now there's too many players that don't demand enough respect on the Warriors on offense. So that's a major, major area where this roster is lacking right now, and I'm sure Mike Dunleavy is busy as anyone here in San Francisco, because there's a lot of different options the Warriors could go after. I know Zach LaVine has been a rumor that's been heating up a lot of late. And he's also got a teammate, Nikola Vucevic, who the Warriors have been rumored to be interested in as well. Jimmy Butler, of course, is maybe the biggest name or the biggest story right now. There's also De'Aaron Fox, but it seems like the Spurs are a match made in heaven for that one. Maybe some of the others that don't get talked about as much. Cam Johnson, who I'm a huge, huge fan of, and I think Cam Johnson would come in and make a major difference on this roster, because he would, I think, unlock a lot of other stuff in this Warriors offense. We can talk more about that, and you can give me a call, shoot me a text, add a comment on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame, again, or a text or a call, 888-957-9570. Let me know what you think about the Warriors at the trade deadline. What I will say tonight, if you are looking for some sort of a glass half full perspective on this, I'll say this, because I heard this a lot from a lot of Warrior fans, and you can let me know if you felt this way or not. After the win on Wednesday against Oklahoma City, arguably, in my opinion, it was the Warriors' best game of the season. Most impressive performance of the season. Down Kuminga, down Draymond, considering what the last 2 months have been for you, that felt really, really good. A win against maybe the best team in the NBA, definitely the best team in the Western Conference. And they were as healthy as they've been for quite a while. Of course, Chet Holmgren's been out for the majority of the season. But they're pretty darn healthy right now, and the Warriors are down two of their maybe four most important players. And you got that win on your home floor when Shea, the MVP front runner, goes for 52 points. Impressive win. I heard a lot from Warrior fans that win kind of scared them into thinking that maybe the Warriors' decision makers in the front office might see that win and think, hey, well, you know, maybe this team is better than they've shown recently. You know, let's let this group play it out. We don't need to make a move at the deadline. Or maybe instead of a big move that we were potentially planning, maybe it's a move more so on the margins like the last couple of deadlines have been. I don't think you had to worry about that. I think this Warriors front office is perfectly aware of this roster shortcomings. They were 10-20 over a 30-game stretch. They're now 12-21 over their last 33 since a 12-3 beginning. So I don't think a single game, I don't think two games, hell, I don't think three games really changes all that much. But what I will say is if you were worried that the win on Wednesday against Oklahoma City might change the Warriors' plans or might influence what the Warriors are thinking about doing at the trade deadline, I think tonight takes that away as a possibility. Warriors got to run off the floor tonight. They give up 130 points. They lose by 25. The Warriors have no choice but to make a move. Absolutely no choice but to make a move. And I think it's at the point where even if you feel like you're losing the deal, even if you feel like There's a team out there who holds the asset that you so desperately covet, and they're driving a hard bargain. I think you got to do it. I really do think you got to do it. Like, for example, the Nets are reportedly looking for 2 first-round picks in exchange for Cam Johnson. If I'm the Warriors, you put a protection on those picks, you do the deal. I know Cam Johnson isn't a star in many people's minds, and he's not an all-star, no doubt about it. He is a player that I think can slide into this roster and kind of change the overall feel of things. Instead of relying on Wiggins to be your number two scorer, he becomes your number three. Or maybe if Kuminga comes back in, plays well, Kuminga's your number three, and Wiggins is your number four, and Schroeder is your number five, and Hield or Moody or Pajemski is your 6, 7, or 8 scorer, of course, behind Steph Curry as your number one scorer. I think that is an area where this Warrior team can really get one acquisition. And again, not a star, not a superstar, but a very solid player who does a couple of things very, very well in Cam Johnson. And that kind of slides everyone else down a peg. And suddenly the roster feels and looks a little bit different. Because you're not relying on Wiggins to give you 20 every night anymore. You're relying on Wiggins to give you 15. Because you feel confident that Cam Johnson can give you 20, and Steph can give you 22, and Kuminga can give you 15, and maybe Hield builds on tonight, and he could give you 12 a night, and Pajemski can give you 8, and Schroeder can give you 10. Then this offense begins to take on a little bit of a different shape, but there's no doubt, as this roster currently stands right now, there is nothing that this roster has shown us, even when healthy, that makes you think that the roster is good enough to make any sort of run in the Western Conference right now. I also will tell you this, that even before tonight's game, Steve Kerr said this pregame. This is Steve Kerr about the trade deadline. Quote, and again, this is pregame before a 25-point loss at home to the Suns. Steve Kerr said pregame, quote, "We're not in a position where we can say, nah, we're good, let's stand pat. That's the reality of where we are." So I don't think any of you out there gotta worry that the Warriors don't think they have to make a move. They know they have to make a move. What I will say is I think there is a chance that they feel like the moves that are out there for them, the moves that they can make, maybe they don't think the price is right, and they don't want to overpay for something that they still might think is kind of a shot in the dark of making this team good. Part of the reason why I think the Cam Johnson deal makes sense, and I think to a lesser degree the Zach LaVine deal makes sense, is because those guys are not expiring deals. Jimmy Butler is on the last year of a contract. He's probably going to opt out of the final year of his deal, which means you might acquire him for just 3 months, and then he goes and signs elsewhere. That's a real, real possibility. Now, the Warriors might decide, well, if we acquire him, we want, you know, a handshake agreement that he's going to sign an extension with us. I don't know how I'd feel about a handshake agreement with Jimmy Butler, given what he has done to the Miami Heat and what he's done in previous stops. So that's a significant conundrum for me in that one. Vucevic does have a year and a half left on his deal, so he has another year. That is better than nothing, of course. And Zach LaVine has a couple more years. He has this year and 2 more. Same thing goes for Cam Johnson, who's under contract for 2.5 years. 2 more years beyond this one. The difference for Cam Johnson is the Warriors would be able to get him without giving up Andrew Wiggins, and I think they could get him without giving up Jonathan Kuminga as well. I know there's been a lot of rumors and reporting, and if you're on Warriors Twitter or you follow certain insiders or podcasters or shows or whatever, you might have heard that there's a way in which the Warriors can acquire Zach LaVine and not give up Andrew Wiggins. It is theoretically possible, but I would not expect that that's going to happen. It is very, very difficult to find a trade in which the Warriors are able to acquire a $40+ million contract without giving up one of their 3 most expensive players, which is Wiggins, along with Draymond and Steph Curry. We know they're not trading Steph Curry, and I would be shocked if they were trading Draymond Green. So the only other option in terms of a major building block money-wise for a trade is Andrew Wiggins. The reason why I don't feel great about that LaVine trade is because I don't know how much better you get by essentially swapping LaVine for Wiggins. And it would also probably cost you like Looney and GP2. Those three, maybe something else for Zach LaVine, it might make you better, but I don't know if it makes you that much better. It's kind of a similar problem the Warriors are currently in. Again, the way that I see it, the Warriors have a pretty decent roster right now. Honestly, they just have a gaping hole at the number two scorer spot. They don't have any consistency in scorers right now. LaVine is averaging upwards of 20 points per game, and he's having an awesome year. He's shooting like 44% from downtown. He's having an amazing year. He would immediately slide in, and honestly, he might be your number one scorer above Steph, but at worst, he's your number two scorer. But if it costs Wiggins to get him, then suddenly you have a hole at your number three scorer, right? You'd be asking someone like Kuminga or Schroeder to be your number three scorer. And I don't know if that is enough for the Warriors to put together a run and to make a quality stretch of basketball happen here in the Western Conference. So that's how I view it. You can let me know how you feel. Again, you can give me a call, shoot me a text, 888-957-9570. You can also join our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. Let's see here. The YouTube chat is popping just a little bit right now. Ed says, go ahead and make a move now. Oh, and then Ed says, and maybe move Steph in the summer, but don't expect a miracle this year at all. Ed, I can tell you they're not going to move Steph now. They're not going to move Steph in the summer. I think the Warriors are very, very, very set on keeping Stephen Curry for the rest of his career with the Golden State Warriors. But appreciate the text and the message on our YouTube chat. You can join the conversation again, youtube.com/957thegame. The other thing that's an issue for the Warriors, and I'm going to go to the phone lines here in just a second. Caleb, I see you. Hang on. I'll get to you here in just a couple of minutes. The other thing that's a major issue for the Warriors offense right now, and it's probably a big reason why the Warriors have been so dead set on shooting an incredible amount of threes, it's because they cannot score down low. How about this?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Warriors had 6 more field goal attempts in the paint than the Suns tonight. 6 more field goal attempts than the Suns in the paint, okay? Yet they scored 20 fewer points in the paint than the Suns. That makes absolutely no sense. The efficiency there is absolutely incredible, or lack of efficiency if you're looking at it from the Warriors' perspective, but the Suns' efficiency was great. The Warriors shot 38% in the paint. 18 for 47, the Warriors in the paint. 18 for 47. Meanwhile, the Suns were 28 for 41. The Warriors shot 38% in the paint. They got 6 more shots up in the paint than the Suns did, yet they scored 20 fewer points. The Suns made 10 more attempts in the paint, while the Warriors took six more shot attempts. The Suns made 10 more in the paint field goals on six fewer in the paint field goal attempts. And it gets even worse if you zoom in to the restricted area. Restricted area, like within 5 feet, less 3 feet of the rim. The Suns were 16 for 17 in the restricted area. The Warriors were 9 for 22. 9 for 22 in the restricted area. This team cannot score in and around the rim, and it is infuriating to watch at times. A lot of those are like tips off of misses, but still, 9 for 22, that is terrible. The Warriors shot 41% in the restricted area tonight. The league average is 66%. Like, you're talking about 26-25% below league average Warriors in the paint tonight. You can't win basketball games doing that. They actually got into the rim and into the paint a decent amount. Again, six more field goal attempts in the paint than the Suns, but they made 10 fewer than Phoenix. Okay, out to the phone lines we go. Caleb, you've been hanging on patiently. Appreciate your call. Caleb, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up. How you doing?
What's going on, my man? How you doing?
I'm trying to make sense of this Warriors loss. Caleb, what do you think?
Well, you can't really make any sense of it, man. It's like on repeat. Look, I think when it comes to the whole trade discussion, right, look, I know he's been a topic. This player's been a topic of conversation a lot recently, and he's not playing right now. He's hurt, and he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best defensive players of this generation. But I think you got to move on from Draymond here. And I did a little trade. What's it called? A little mock trade on this on this little app, and I said the Bulls would give the Warriors Zach LaVine and Torrey Craig, and the Bulls would receive Draymond, Gary Payton, Buddy Hield, and Kevon Looney. Now, you probably might have to get a third team involved because I don't know if the Bulls want all four of those players, but I think in general speaking, man, like this Warriors team needs offense. Like, I'm not giving up Kuminga or Wiggins to get LaVine. I think if the Warriors are serious about winning, I think Draymond's the guy they're going to have to give up.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, and I hear you, Caleb. I think there's a decent chunk of Warrior fans who agree with you and feel the way you do. I think I can tell you pretty confidently that the Warriors disagree with you. And they might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they disagree with you. And again, appreciate the call, Caleb. Thanks so much for tuning in and for joining the conversation. You can do so as well, 888-957-9570. I'll put it this way. Any trade of Draymond, Steph Curry would have to sign off on. I don't think Steph Curry is signing off on a trade of Draymond Green right now. All right, we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. Tony, I see you on hold. I'm coming to you when we come back. Also, we will hear from Steve Kerr. We got plenty more to get into about this game specifically, but I mean, we're two games from the trade deadline, Monday against Orlando, Wednesday against Utah, and then the trade deadline happens before the Warriors play on trade deadline day in the evening in LA against the Lakers. There's not much more time left for the Warriors to figure out what they're going to do. This is essentially what they have to go off of, and I think it's a pretty clear picture. The Warriors need to make a move, and not just a move on the margins. We can talk more about that. I'll check in on the YouTube chat and our text line. More Warriors Wrap-Up coming up next. It's Mark Randy with you as the Dubs lose to the Suns. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Santos crossover on KD. Beats him like a drum to the rim. Wow.
Save that on DVD, young man.
A little samba music there for Gee Santos. Here's Booker. Throws it out to KD. He takes a three topside and says, okay, young man.
He said, I'm one up on you.
Yep. Knocked it down. It's 20-18. KD with nine.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center here after the Warriors fall to the Suns 130-105. Dubs back to 500 at 24-24. They've been making a habit of being a game over 500, falling back to 500, being a game below 500, getting back to 500, and that cycle has just repeated itself over and over and over again. The Warriors were 18-18, 19-19, 20-20 all the way until 24-24, where they currently sit right now. You heard that highlight of Kevin Durant 3. He only had 19. It felt like he had a lot more than that, but it was an efficient 19, 6-13 from the field, 5-9 from downtown. He had himself a huge third quarter, specifically the final few minutes of the third quarter when he ended the quarter with 9 in the final 2 minutes. And he was doing some jawing with the original GP, Gary Payton, the glove, who was sitting, like, not front row, but in the front row of the second section of seats near courtside on the floor. And near the end of the third quarter, they were going back and forth, KD and the glove, GP, GP2's father, going back and forth at it. During that third quarter, and KD, as he seems to always do, backed up his trash talk, and he scored 9 of his 19 points in like a 2-minute stretch to close the third quarter. That was a big reason why the Suns had what kind of felt like an insurmountable lead going into the fourth, and ultimately they win by 25 points, 130-105. Welcome back to Warriors Wrap Up. Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back out to the phone lines as promised. The number to call and to text if you want to join the conversation is 888-957-9570. Tony has been hanging out patiently in Oakland. Tony, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking the call. Long-time Warriors season ticket holder. I go way, 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 way back. Back when Rick was playing and the whole thing, the championship.
Wow.
Look, my take on this season, I would not trade my draft picks at all. You know what I would do? I think the Warriors should just tank it. I think they should tank the season, hold on your draft picks, and try to hopefully get a good pick in the lottery. You see how teams rebuild. You look through the years on the NBA. They all tank and get a player. That's kind of what OKC has done. That's what San Antonio did. That's what all the teams have done. I think the Warriors are caught in a place. Cam Johnson and Levine are not going to make any difference on this team at all. Zero. Giving away your draft picks makes absolutely no sense. You got to keep those picks. You got to get a good draft. That's how they built this team. They drafted Curry. They drafted Green. They drafted Clay. That's how you built it. What happened to the Warriors now is what happens to every great team. The players get old. The players are old. They're past their prime. That's it. That happens. You got to rebuild. You got to retool. You can't patch it up and get a player here, a player there, and trade your draft picks and kick the can. They got to tank it. Hope they get a good lottery pick and do well in the draft. That's how they built this team. This team is not going anywhere. Levine, Cam Johnson, you know, outside of Kevin Durant, maybe. That's it. The season's not going to happen. They're probably not even going to make the play-in. They should just tank it. That's what I think.
Appreciate the call, Tony. I'll put it this way. That would not be the worst thing the Warriors could do. It would not be the worst thing by a wide margin. And again, appreciate the call, Tony. You can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. I still think even if you think it's a shot in the dark, and even if you think that this is a trade, whatever trade you're thinking about doing, is likely not going to lead to a championship, and spoiler, I don't think any move is going to lead to a championship, but you never know how things might play out, and hey, is it worth it to give Steph Curry a shot in the playoffs? Like, just get Steph to the playoffs and then see what happens? How much is that worth it to you? I think the Warriors would say that's worth a pretty good amount. But again, Tony, I'll say, you know, quote unquote tanking, or essentially not trying to improve the team and kind of let this team flounder to a 500 finish, or maybe you're even saying trade some of the others, not named Steph and Dre and Wiggins. Maybe that means, and I think you could throw Kuminga in there as well. Maybe it means trade Hield and Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II, and try to get as many picks as you possibly can. Not that that group is going to get you like a meaningful first round pick, but maybe you think about doing that. If that's your idea, Tony, that's better than doing nothing. I'll put it that way. Doing nothing and just standing pat and either hoping that this team figures it out, Or, I don't know, maybe doing what you're suggesting, Tony, thinking that this team isn't going to figure it out and that they're going to struggle. You might want to push it. I'll put it this way. I'm talking myself in a circle. If your goal is to try to maximize what your first round pick is going to do, you don't do that by just standing pat. You do that by shipping off some expiring contracts, playing your younger players more, and, you know, I say, quote unquote, hopefully losing a few more games to help your draft stock. If your goal is to tank, that's the way you do it. You don't do that by doing nothing. You also don't try to improve your team by doing nothing. So, Tony, I'm not going to say I would recommend doing what you're suggesting, but it's better than doing nothing. If you get to a situation where, say, the Bulls are only going to trade Zach LaVine if they're asking for Wiggins and the other salary filler, say it's Looney and GP2 to make it work, and three first-round picks. That's what the price is for Zach LaVine, and the Bulls aren't budging for whatever reason, even though they have been trying to get off of that Zach LaVine contract for more than a year now. Maybe you say, that's not worth it. Okay, there's nothing in the cards. Let's trade our expiring deals, and let's get, you know, 2 second-round picks in here, and that's at least better than nothing. That would be better than the alternative, again, of just standing pat. But I don't think the Warriors are going to do that. I think this is a franchise that is too proud. I think this is a franchise that, even if Steph isn't going to demand a move to bring someone else in here, it is something that they're going to do because they feel like they owe it to Steph. Again, even if Steph doesn't demand it. To go back to what our previous caller on the other side, before we went to break, I believe that was Caleb. Caleb thought the Warriors should trade Draymond. Draymond should be the big money piece that goes to, say, Chicago in return for Zach LaVine. I think there is a decent chunk of Warriors fans that feel that way, and I don't necessarily blame you. And I think I told Caleb, Steph Curry is definitely not in that camp. I don't think you need to look much further than how Steph Curry has played in now his last 6 games in order to figure out the value that Draymond Green brings to the Warriors. Draymond has now missed 7 straight games, right? He's missed the last 7 games. Steph Curry sat once in those 7 games, so he's played before tonight in 5 games without Draymond. His last 5, now 6 games without Draymond Green. He's averaging right about 17 points per game. He's shooting 38% from the field and 36% from downtown. I don't think it's a coincidence that when Draymond is out, Steph Curry's numbers dips. There is no one on the face of the earth who understands how to get the ball to Steph in space like Draymond Green. As long as Steph is on this Warrior team, Draymond Green has incredible value on this Warrior team. Maybe he's not as great of a defender as he once was, just like Steph isn't as good of an offensive player as he once was. They're still both really darn good at that, but the natural way things progress, when you get older and when you start getting injuries more consistently and you don't feel great going into every game, generally you're not going to be as good in every game. But Draymond is still a hell of a defender, and again, there is no one who unlocks Steph quite like Draymond. Now, to make Draymond more effective, you need to surround him with shooters. Steph Curry is one of those. The Warriors don't have a lot of other shooters, which is why Quentin Post is starting. The dude's on a two-way contract. There's not many two-way guys from the G League who are starting NBA games. Quentin Post has started the last 2 games. And by the way, Quentin Post was pretty decent tonight in this game. I thought he had himself a pretty nice first quarter, made a couple of threes. I thought his passing, by the way, was impressive in the first half. Didn't play a lot in the second half, but I thought he had himself a nice bounce-back game after he struggled for most of the game on Wednesday against Oklahoma City. Did not play in the entire second half, but had a pretty bad run in the first half. Nothing against him. It's just normal rookie stuff. I thought Post had himself a pretty good performance. right? But you don't want to rely on a rookie who you drafted in the 50s of the most recent NBA draft as like the second best shooter on the floor, which is why the Warriors need to make a heavy push to acquire someone like Zach LaVine or Cam Johnson, because those are elite three-point shooters. LaVine specifically an elite bucket getter. I think Cam Johnson is underrated elsewhere offensively. He's a great three-point shooter, one of the best in the league. He can do a little bit off the dribble as well and catch and shoot and can move without the ball. Zach LaVine, though, is an elite bucket getter. The only thing there is he comes with a much heftier price tag, more than double the price of Cam Johnson. But you need shooting. You pair Steph and Draymond with shooting, that is still a duo that can lead the way for you offensively. I am 100% of the belief in that. About those two and how they can work together if you have the right groupings elsewhere around them. Like a grouping of, I'm just going to say Cam Johnson, because you can get the Cam Johnson deal done easily without including Wiggins in it. And I know theoretically, mathematically, you can do the same for LaVine, but you basically have to gut the entire rest of your roster, and then you have to find enough money to sign extra dudes to get back to the minimum 14 guys you need on your roster, and the Warriors can't go above the apron, and they're basically right up against it now. It's really difficult. So let's just think of this as Cam Johnson. A five you could have to potentially close a game is Curry, Cam Johnson, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond Green when you're healthy. That feels like a pretty darn good group of five to me. And you would still have Schroeder and Buddy Hield and Pajemski and Moses Moody and Trayce Jackson-Davis available to you off the bench in that scenario. I think it's a pretty good five, and it really unlocks a lot of other combinations the Warriors can work with. Back out to the phones we go here on Warriors Wrap-Up. It's Mark Randy with you. The Dubs fall to the Suns tonight, 130-105. They're back to 500 at 24-24. Only two games left before the trade deadline. Monday at home against Orlando. Wednesday in Utah against the Jazz. The Warriors then play on Thursday, which is trade deadline day in L.A. against the Lakers, but that game tips off about 7 hours after the trade deadline, so the Warriors only two games left before they have to make a decision one way or the other of what they should do at the trade deadline. Up next is Steel Toe in San Mateo. What's up, Steel Toe? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up. How you doing?
All right. Thank you, Grandy. Yeah, I already knew the Warriors was going to lose to Phoenix tonight, but I wanted to at least see some kind of competence from Steve Kerr. He keeps being incompetent with this Gary Payton II at the power forward. I mean, he has no creativity or imagination. You can't put Trayce Jackson-Davis at the five and put Quentin Post at the four. Now, I've been waiting for the last 2 weeks when Kuminga and Draymond went down. He wouldn't do nothing really competent. And then this is why he ruins his reputation, like he's some kind of four-time NBA coach, champion coach. And it's like, no, you're not really a qualified coach. It was Stephen Curry carrying your incompetence. It's Stephen Curry that got all four of those chances despite him. And you can see the incompetence with his lineup. And what does that do to put Gary Payton II at power forward when we're trying to see Quentin Post develop this team? What's wrong with using big guys? I feel like the reason why the Warriors don't have any seven-footers is because the seven-footers know Steve Kerr, and they don't want to play with Steve Kerr. That's the real problem. I almost think Bob Myers left because of Steve Kerr's reputation of trying to bring free agents here. Bob Myers was the real brain trust. He brought in a lot of good, smart veterans, and they stopped coming over here, especially when Steve Kerr and Draymond couldn't get along with Kevin Durant. Who doesn't get along with Kevin Durant? You know what I mean? And it was like the last year, Bob Myers, he brought Otto Porter Jr. It's like now you can't bring any real intelligent veterans here anymore because nobody likes to play with Steve Kerr and Draymond. And so it doesn't matter what you do with this trade. Who the hell wants to play with Steve Kerr in that offense, incompetent offense, and incompetence lineup? Thank you, Grandy.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Steel Toe, and I appreciate your passion. I don't share your sentiments about Steve Kerr exactly. I think there are a few areas in which Steve Kerr can improve and needs to adjust, and we're going to hear from Steve Kerr in a little bit. And I'm not sure if the chunk of Steve Kerr that we have includes part of him saying he's got to be better. If it doesn't include and we don't hear Steve Kerr say it, I will read you the quote because I think it is interesting and we can have a longer conversation about it. So Steel Toe, stay tuned. I'll address your comments more in full in a little bit. Before we do hear from Steve Kerr, let's go back out to the phone. Let's clean up one more call, and then we will hear from Steve Kerr and Steel Toe. I'll get back to your comments. Let's go to Al, who's hanging on in Alameda. Al, what's up? What do you think of this Warrior game today?
This Warriors game, I think, like, they're up and down. And I will be honest to you, they're not going anywhere. They're 500, under 500, one game over 500. They're just like that, believe me. Even though they pick up somebody like Levine or Butler, those guys are not going to do. They're not going to change the team. Believe it or not, let's start all over again. We got to make a big trade. I hate to say this. You know, Curry, he's still good in the market. He's got, what, so much money on him. You can still get somebody who's young out there right now. I hate to see him go where ooh and ah when he makes that three. But when he makes those stupid passing over the head turnovers, and you get upset. And Green, him and his technical foul, those two got to go. I'm so sorry. We got to start all over again. Like the previous viewers caller, Tony, that guy Tony, he made a big sense there. We got to start all over again and start fresh, get a pickup. You know, I was watching this Stojakovic kid, I think Stojakovic's son. He's a great shooter. Maybe we can start something like that from the college. Watch out for them. And one last thing, Post. I've seen him play the last three games. He could shoot from the outside. He needs to bulk up. I'll be honest with you. He's down below. He's a shame. He's scared. He reminds me of Bidris. He doesn't want to go up strong. Okay? And I think the team is just so, they're just running around and running around. And Curry, I've seen him, if you watch him the first 5 minutes of the first quarter, he's just standing around there. He doesn't get his defender tired. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Al. You're talking about Peja Stojakovic's son. I believe it's Andre Stojakovic, who's a sophomore for Cal, originally committed to Stanford, but now is with the Cal Golden Bears. Yeah, hell of a shooter, just like his dad. And maybe he has an NBA career. Maybe the Warriors with the Bay Area ties, considering he went to both Stanford and Cal, are interested in drafting him. We'll see. That's a conversation for down the road when he eventually declares for the NBA draft. They desperately need shooters. You're not going to hear me disagree with you there, Al. They need shooters. Again, I will say, as far as it relates to Draymond Green, the Warriors don't have an interest in moving on from Draymond Green, from what I have gathered. Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, for that matter, are a package deal. And when they go out, it might be together all at once. Definitely when Draymond Green goes out, it's going to be when and if, only if they get the blessing of Steph Curry to do so. And considering what Draymond Green still means to Steph Curry on the floor, I do not think that time is coming anytime soon. Okay, we'll get back out to the phones. I see some more texts, 888-957-9570, and YouTube comments coming in. I'll address all of that, but first, let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr addressing the media postgame tonight after the Warriors fall back to 500. They're 24-24. KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal ran the Warriors out of their own gym. Final score 130-105. Here's Coach Kerr addressing the media after the latest Warriors loss.
Our offense didn't help our defense in the second quarter, and so the game was didn't connect very well, and they got loose in transition. They hit a bunch of open shots. It was mostly jump shots. It was a couple layups, but I just thought our offense didn't help our defense. And once they got out of the gate, they were tough to stop. They had a great night. They were fantastic. 42 assists, I think. Or 41 assists. Ball was moving beautifully for them, and they played a great game.
Steve, how disappointing was this coming after what you guys did two nights ago?
Yeah, very disappointing. I mean, we were hoping to follow up from the effort the other night, but wasn't there for us. And I give Phoenix the credit. They played a great game. So we've got to keep battling. We've got to bounce back on Monday and carry on.
You were talking about the amount of spirit you guys displayed on Wednesday night in that win. Did you see any of that tonight, or was it just not there?
The what?
Spirit. The amount of...
Experience?
Spirit.
Oh, spirit.
Yeah, that you
spirit.
Guys played with the other night. And just the look in their eye, and, you know, you were saying that you saw something the other night. Tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was there early. It's... You know, I thought we actually played a decent first quarter. Our defense wasn't great, but we moved the ball, and we had some really good possessions, and we were right there. And then the second quarter, the game kind of got away from us a little bit. And I thought our shoulders sagged a little bit. And, you know, this league, the way people play now with the three-point line, with the pace, games can get away from you in a hurry. And so that's... you know, that's what happened tonight, I thought, and that, you know, may have caused us to lose a little confidence.
Do you know the plan on Draymond yet this weekend?
He scrimmaged today, and he will practice with us tomorrow, and we're expecting him to play next week sometime. Not sure which game, but we'll see how he comes out. But he's scrimmaged and did fine, so he's on the right track.
Steve, with what defenses are doing this stuff, how much do you miss Draymond being able to screen him open, or is it more than that?
Yeah, I mean, Draymond is obviously a great player, and the connection that he has with Steph, he knows how to get Steph the ball and get him shots, get him free. I thought that was part of the problem in the first half. I think Steph had five shots at halftime, and we weren't finding ways to get him the ball. I've got to do a better job of that. Draymond will help when he comes back, for sure.
How do you think you did against Kevin Durant? He had 10 points at the half and didn't score again until he hit those three threes toward the end of the third.
I mean, you know, it was not a huge night for Kevin, but Kevin just does whatever's necessary in a game. He didn't need to have a huge night. And I thought the key was, obviously, Book was tremendous, but felt like the key to the game was Beal and Grayson Allen coming off the bench early and knocking down shots. They got a big boost from their bench, and that gave them some separation in the first half.
All right, that's Steve Kerr post-game addressing the media after the Warriors' 130-105 loss to the Suns. Talked about a bunch of different things there. First of all, saying very disappointing in the loss and the effort specifically after the way that they played and beat Oklahoma City on Wednesday. He did say, though, you got to give Phoenix the credit. But I'm sure behind the scenes, Steve Kerr is being a little bit more forceful with his team because it was not a very good game. Not taking anything away from Phoenix, the Warriors' defense wasn't good. I don't think it was absolutely terrible. This was amazing Phoenix ball movement. He mentioned their assists, 31 assists, and they were making some pretty tough shots, specifically from downtown. A great Phoenix game, but also not even a good Warrior game, specifically defensively. They were pretty bad, the Warriors were, offensively in this game as well. But maybe the one thing that Steve Kerr said that I want to focus on the most here, and I think this goes back to one of our previous callers, I believe it was Steel Toe, talking about Steve Kerr and how he's got to adjust, or maybe in Steel Toe's mind it's too late and it's time for Steve Kerr to go. Steve Kerr was asked about the importance of Draymond Green in helping get Steph Curry looks. Steve Kerr said, quote, the connection that he, being Draymond, has with Steph. He knows how to give the ball to Steph and get him shots and open looks. We weren't finding ways to get him the ball. I've got to do a better job of that. One, I think it goes back to something one of our previous callers talked about. I believe it was Caleb back early in the show, and appreciate everyone for tuning in and interacting here. It's Mark Grandy with you on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. That's why Draymond, I think, is important and has a place on this Warrior team, as long as Steph has a place on this Warrior team, because he's kind of a cheat code to get Steph the ball. The Warriors offense looks a little lost without Draymond in terms of finding ways to get Steph open looks. Now, you could say, and you are very, very right in saying, they should be able to get Steph better looks without Draymond. Draymond has, you know, missed a decent chunk of basketball games in his tenure as a Golden State Warrior. The Warriors, it should not be this difficult to get the best shooter the league has ever seen more consistent looks. Steph Curry's first shot tonight came with 5 minutes and 14 seconds left in the first quarter. So he played nearly 7 minutes of basketball and didn't attempt a shot. His second shot attempt came with about 7.5 left in the second quarter. He had played 12 minutes and 15 seconds by the time his second shot came around. So essentially, in the first 12 minutes of game time for Steph, the first quarter of game time, more than in the quarter of actual game time, but just the first 12 minutes that Steph played, he had one shot attempt. One shot attempt. That's unacceptable. Now, if you're getting triple teamed and you have just wide open dunks, then okay, that makes sense. That was not what was happening. The Warriors were struggling for the most part to score the basketball for the majority of the night. They shot 41% from the field. A lot of that is because of how bad they were in the paint. But you're going into a game like this. You've been without Draymond for a while already. You were without Draymond Green for a gigantic chunk of last year. It should be easier for you to get Steph Curry looks. And that does fall on Steve Kerr and the coaching staff. There's no doubt about that. Now, Steve Kerr did say, I've got to do a better job of that. I know for a lot of you out there, that's probably not enough. You need to see it on the floor. And that's fair. We'll see now how the Warriors bounce back and try to get Steph Curry looks as Draymond Green continues to rehab and try to work his way back. The other thing Steve Kerr did say there was that Draymond Green practiced today. He scrimmaged today. They do not know when he's going to be back. I'm not sure if I would predict him to play on Monday against Orlando, but maybe Wednesday in Utah, potentially. The Warriors do hope he is back at some point next week. The Warriors play 3 games during the week next week. Monday, again, Orlando at home to close out this homestand. Wednesday in Utah, and then Thursday, day of the trade deadline, in LA against the Lakers. I would expect Draymond to play in one of those 3 games. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Let's go to Shardole in Fremont. He now joins us here on 95.7 The Game. You can join the conversation as well, 888-957-9570. Shardole, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey Mark, it's great calling in on 95.7 The Game. I'm a big fan of your network. I always get a chance to listen to you after coming back from a Warriors win. I love tuning in. Dude, I'm a passionate Warriors fan. I love this team so much. I try and attend as many games at Chase Center as possible. This team is great. They have a lot of young talent on this team. They got Kuminga, they got Looney and Moody. Today was a tough loss today. I mean, today was definitely a gut-punching loss, losing to the Phoenix Suns 130-105. Second time Kevin Durant returned to the Bay. That was very very special. Every time he comes, KD brought great stuff to the Warriors when he played for us back in the day. So it was definitely a hard loss, a tough pill to swallow, but I'm optimistic that we're gonna come in on Orlando and we're gonna show those that Magic team that we're not here to mess around and we're here to come bring our A game every single night. We're coming here to show what we got. So I think we're definitely gonna play a little better against Orlando. This was not really good. Also, the dynamic duo led by Kevin Durant and Devin Booker combined for 50 points. They were absolutely amazing. Booker definitely was out of those two. I think Booker had a spectacular performance. So I think we're gonna get a win against Orlando. But I'm not giving up on the season right now. I'm very optimistic, and I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna keep on fighting with this team, and I'm gonna keep on supporting this team as much as I can. Doesn't matter win or loss. I'm still gonna be that diehard Warriors fan and keep going to all the games and keep rooting on everybody. But it was great calling into the show, and I'll definitely call it next time. It's I really love everything you do on Warriors Wrap Up.
Awesome. Thanks, Shardul. Really appreciate the kind words and love your passion and your confidence and your belief in the Warriors. I'm not sure what the Warriors have done to necessarily deserve that confidence. But hey, you feel that confident, then go out and shout it from the rooftops. Orlando's a quality team. They're coming in on Monday. I would not be surprised if the Warriors were to lose that game. I would not be surprised if they were to win that game. That's kind of the story of the Warriors' year. They actually have a winning record against teams with top six records in the NBA. Believe it or not, they're 7-6 against the six best teams record-wise in the NBA this year. That is just kind of who they are. They can beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody, and they can get blown out by anybody, and that's what happened tonight as the Suns knock off the Warriors 130-105. I see some more comments on Steve Kerr and decisions that he's making coming in on both the text line and our YouTube chat. You can join the conversation 888-957-9570. Also, youtube.com/957thegame. One of our earlier callers, apologies, I forget exactly who, it might have been Steel Toe, talking about Steve Kerr and GP2 in the starting lineup. I too have been a little bit confused by that. Now, Steve Kerr looked like a genius for how it panned out on Wednesday against Oklahoma City when GP2 scored 15 points and was everywhere defensively. He punctuated that game with the epic poster dunk of Isaiah Hartenstein. GP2 had himself an awesome game, but the reality for GP2, and I can say the same for Kevon Looney, who was amazing on Wednesday, those games are very few and far between. Now, they do other things and they have positive impacts, but I'm not so sure that GP2 should be a consistent starter for the Warriors. What I can guarantee you is if this team was healthy, of course he wouldn't be starting. But if I'm starting GP2, who's already a pretty undersized, very undersized person to play at the four, and of course he plays so much bigger than his size, I'd be tempted to start Moses Moody. Moses Moody at the four, who can space the floor, he's nowhere near the defender that GP2 is, and we're not pretending that he is. It would be foolish to do so, but considering what the Warriors are offensively, I think you got to start leaning towards offensive lineups than defensive. And I know tonight might be a dangerous time to come to that conclusion, considering you gave up 130 points. I think the 130 that Phoenix scored probably had a little bit more to do with Phoenix just executing amazing than terrible Warriors defense. But when you score 105, which is very low for today's NBA, and only shoot 41% from the field, you got to do everything you can to score the basketball. So I would consider Moody over GP2. I would also consider, for the majority of the last month or so, maybe not starting Buddy Hield, although Hield played well in the first half tonight, scored 13 points. Oddity to me, and if I was able to attend the Steve Kerr press conference, I would have asked why Buddy Hield only played 3 minutes in the second half. Unless I'm missing something, I don't think he limped off the floor and was injured or anything, but only 3 minutes in the second half for Buddy Hield. You had finally an opportunity where he was sitting his shots and only played 3 minutes in the second half, did not attempt a field goal in the second half. So that makes no sense to me. I think generally if you're the Warriors at this stage of the season, considering all the offensive struggles, you got to pull out all the stops on the offensive end. You got to do whatever you can to get any kind of points. And you had Buddy Hield going off in the first half, 13 points, 5 of 7 shooting. Let him hoist some shots up in the second half. For whatever reason, that didn't happen. I understand a lot of the Kerr frustration as it relates to that. I would not be surprised if come Monday we do see an adjustment to the starting lineup once again. However, this is a Orlando team that does come in with some pretty versatile bigs. Paolo Banchero is one of them. They got Franz Wagner, who's back and healthy now. They're a difficult team to deal with, and the Warriors might try to attack that team from a defensive standpoint versus an offensive one, but we will see when that game comes up on Monday. Back out to the phone lines we go as we continue on Warriors wrap-up. 888-957-9570. It's Mark Randy with you as the Dubs fall to the Suns, 130-105. Up next, Bryce, who's in Phoenix. I believe Bryce is a Suns fan. Bryce, first of all, congrats on the win. Thanks for listening. How you doing, Bryce? Welcome.
I'm doing well. And let me say this, Mark. I love your Warrior wrap-up. I've listened to it quite a bit. And I also love your producing the Willard and Nib show, which I also listen to quite a bit. So you do a great job on those two things.
Appreciate it.
The thing I'm going to say to Warriors fans, do not, don't panic, because when I watch the game tonight, first of all, my jaw's on the floor because the Suns have not played this good all season. I don't know how they did it. Two days ago, we were exactly the same thing as a lot of Warrior fans are. Blow the thing up. Reset it up. It's not going to work. We're not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, tonight, we're the best team in the NBA for 48 minutes. Now, as far as saying, okay, everybody's too old and all this stuff, and most people outside of the Bay Area don't like Draymond Green, Stephen Curry is not going to allow Draymond Green to leave because they're an inseparable piece of the puzzle, at least what I see as an outside fan, to the success of the Warriors. And if you've won four or five championships,
yep, four,
you're going to do whatever Steph Curry says. If Steph Curry was on the Phoenix Suns and did the same thing, we would be like, what do you want us to do? We will bow down and kiss your feet until the day you decide I'm done. So whatever players you want, whatever coach you want, pretty much, is going to go whatever he asks, he's going to get. That's what I believe Warrior fans should do, because, and we're somewhat the same way with Booker and Durant. The reason why we got Durant is because Booker went in and said, hey, I'd like to have Kevin Durant on my basketball team. And so the Suns, basically new owner, said, okay, we'll do whatever we have to do. Please, Devin Booker. Devin Booker is nowhere near the quality of player that Steph Curry was. So until the day that Steph Curry retires, even though I can't stand it when he shoots 35-footers against me and hits them. He is the greatest shooter of all time, the best player we've seen in the last 10 years, arguably Michael Jordan and a few other people. But but for right now, he's the best player in the league still, as far as shooting-wise. And so enjoy what you've got, Warriors fan, because he's great. And to be sympathetic, we're going through the same thing as you, and it'll be one of the two of us, either the Suns or the Warriors, making the ninth seed or whatever to get into the play-in tournament, and then you guys will probably be able to go farther than one round. I don't think we will, but I appreciate you listening to me. And thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Appreciate the call, Bryce, and thanks for the kind words. I mean, I think it is always interesting to get an outsider's perspective on the state of the Warriors, because so many of us here on the inside that have been lifelong fans and have followed this team for a very long time, it's difficult to separate your emotions, and it's difficult to maybe come to a non-emotional conclusion. But I also can't blame fans who are frustrated with how the season is going, and a big reason why you're so frustrated with a 500 year right now, 24-24, is because of what Bryce was just talking about, how good you have been for so long. There's such a thing as like dealing with expectation. No one is upset if you go 500 when you were, you know, you've had a decade of being a very bad basketball team, right? It's why the We Believe Warriors were so amazing, because they took a dumpster fire of an organization to the second round of the playoffs, and so many of us here in the Bay Area thought it was the greatest thing we had ever seen. Like, there is such thing as expectation and how it changes things. And the Warriors' expectations are as high as any team in the NBA, even though they've had 2 years now of being, like, at best an average basketball team. Like, 2 years, 2.5 years now doesn't change, is not enough to erase away the expectation of what the Warriors, what Warriors fans feel like their team should be. And I feel like it's going to be that way as long as Steph Curry is a Warrior. But again, Bryce is right that, you know, the older that these players get, the more unlikely that that is. And it's probably fair for us to have to adjust our expectations. But that's not how fandom works, and that's not what going to do, because Steph Curry, as and Bryce said it, is still one of the best players in the NBA. Now, he is struggling right now, and again, I'll say it, Draymond Green's absence is severely hurting Stephen Curry on offense. It almost feels like at times a one-man show on offense where Steph Curry is just trying to figure out a way to get any space. I mean, he's being face guarded beginning at half court. And face guarded as in denied the ball, because whoever is guarding him is just getting right up in Steph's chest, not looking anywhere else but right at Steph, and denying him the ball at every opportunity. Steph can't even get the ball, let alone get a shot off. Again, he had one shot attempt in the first quarter. He did not, and over his first 12 minutes of gameplay tonight, one field goal attempt over his first 12 minutes of gameplay tonight. That's just unacceptable. You can't have that. Like, it's one thing if you have a team full of elite shooters and elite scorers, but on this team, which struggles to score without Steph, you have to find ways to get Steph Curry the basketball. And it has been far too often of late, specifically without Draymond, where the Warriors have kind of looked lost offensively because they can't get the ball to Steph. And then you're left with Wiggins or Pajemski or Schroeder or Hield putting up a wild shot near the end of the shot clock, because there's nothing else that they can do at that point. All right, let's get to another call as we continue here on Warriors Wrap Up. Patrick is hanging out in Pleasanton and wants to join the conversation. Patrick, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up with Mark Randy on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Patrick. Trying to deal with this 500 Warrior team. What about you?
You know what, man? The rumors and talk of trades it's kind of wild. How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel like they don't have a choice, Patrick. They got to make a move. I mean, they're 24-24 with Steph Curry on their roster. What else is there to do?
They got a shake and bake, and I think it's actually very, very weird that Steph is like, we have what's happening in the Bay, and we have Stephen Curry, which is arguably probably the best professional athlete in the Bay Area ever, and we're trying to squeeze whatever we have left out of this lemonade that we have of Steph Curry and his years left in the Bay with the Warriors. And it's like, you know, he mentioned something about like, hey, you know what, I don't want to sacrifice anything for the future. He needs some self-realization. It's like, you know what, man? What does the Warriors draft guys incoming 2-3 years from now have to do with his legacy? He needs to not worry about it. He needs to worry about now. You know what I mean? They have to shake and bake. They got to shake and bake. I don't know if it's one guy that they need to pick up, whether it's two guys, whether it's Levine or Vucevic. I'm not sure about Jimmy Buckets, man. I am not sure about that. And what's happening with Jimmy and what I'm feeling as a fan from the outside, he's giving me these prima donna vibes, man. I don't know. What do you think, man?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Patrick, and a lot of interesting thoughts there. Steph feels how Steph feels. I'm not sure he's saying, like, don't, and in fact, I'm very positive he's not saying, like, don't go out and make a trade to help me. He's just saying that he doesn't want the Warriors to do something irresponsible and give away a big chunk of their future for something desperate now. Now, part of that is very noble, honestly, because you're right, Patrick. Steph Curry doesn't have to worry about the life of the Warriors after Stephen Curry. Like, Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry, and whether he leaves the franchise and they suddenly only win 10 games as a result doesn't impact, you know, Steph Curry's resume or, you know, his legacy. And you're right about that, Patrick. But there is still something noble in the fact that he doesn't want this Warrior franchise to trade away everything and leave their cupboards bare for life after Steph. But on the flip side, I think this is what you're talking about, Patrick, and I think there's a lot of Warrior fans who agree with you. And by the way, there is a commenter on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. Adrian says this caller is spitting facts. I think there's a lot of Warrior fans that feel the same way as you. Like, Steph, come on, demand something. Demand that this team goes out and makes a move. I would imagine the infamous Steph Curry comments. It was post game after that win in Minnesota, which was right on the tail end of the Warriors' loss in Toronto, one of the worst losses of the year, when the Warriors at that point essentially said, let's not go out and do anything desperate, don't mortgage the future for like a wild shot at something this year. And then after the next game, the win in Minnesota, Steph Curry said, everybody, you know, in their Twitter fingers trying to figure out trade machines and what the team should do, like, just shut up a little bit is what Steph Curry said, and let us figure this thing out. I would be shocked if Steph Curry had conversations with the front office saying, don't go out and get me help. But he's using reason, and again, I think it's pretty noble, honestly, because he doesn't have to care about the future of the Warriors organization after Steph. But clearly he does. Clearly he does. I think there is, though, a decent chunk of Warrior fans who maybe want him to be a little bit more aggressive in seeking something out. All I can say is I think the Warriors will make a move. They have Steph Curry's encouragement to make a move, and it is a move with the intention of improving the team. I think it's less so about Jimmy Butler, more so about, say, LaVine or Cam Johnson or someone of that ilk. I think the Jimmy Butler thing, I think the comments the Warriors made back then was specifically about Jimmy Butler, because at that time, the Heat were asking for reportedly salary matching, which was Wiggins and others, plus Kuminga, plus draft capital. That seems like a disaster of a deal. The report of late is that Miami's asking price for Jimmy Butler has come down considerably, so maybe now it's just essentially match contracts, match the money, and that would get it done. That would probably be much more to the Warriors' liking, and I wouldn't be shocked if Steph Curry has given the Warriors his blessing for that move. Who knows? I think that's more what those comments were about, maybe a specific particular trade idea when the asking price was so crazy expensive. It has come down now, and maybe the Warriors readjust at that point. Again, this is not Steph Curry saying, don't make a move, I don't need help. Of course he needs help. Of course he wants help. He wants this team to be as good as possible. He has said on numerous occasions, the only thing that he cares about in the rest of his NBA career is trying to win championship number 5. So, within reason, he wants the Warrior team to go as hard as they possibly can in chasing that next ring, which means they will be active at the trade deadline, and I am pretty positive they're going to make a move before Thursday at noon, which is the trade deadline. Checking in on our text line, 888-957-9570, the 408 chimes in, asks me, hey Grandy, what do you think is more likely, a trade in the next few days or minutes before the deadline? I don't know about minutes before the deadline. If the Warriors are to make a move, I would expect it maybe Wednesday or Thursday morning. I don't think we'll see something this weekend, although I very, very possibly could be wrong. Would not be the first time I've been wrong, but I would expect it maybe closer to Wednesday or Thursday. Generally, the way these things happen, especially teams like the Heat, for example, who are so desperate to trade away Jimmy Butler, or the Bulls, for example, who have been trying to trade away Zach LaVine for ages now, they get a little bit of pressure put on them when the deadline approaches, and maybe they finally say, all right, whatever deal you offered last, we'll do that. They end the negotiating, they bend to the will of the team trying to acquire them, and they get the deal done. So I would imagine closer to the deadline versus like this weekend, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, leading up to the trade deadline at noon, that would be my guess for this, for the Warriors. But they need help. There's no doubt they need help. And again, I would caution you, don't treat Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond's comments about not wanting to be desperate as they don't want a move to be made. They know a move needs to be made. This team does not stand a chance to make a postseason run as currently constructed, even if they're 100% healthy. They need help. It's just a question of, are they going to get a team that is interested in trading someone to play ball with them? We will see, and that's what next week is for. And, of course, we'll talk you through it all here on 95.7 The Game. All right, we got to take care of a bit of business here before we get on out of here for the night. And that, of course, as always, is Crashing the Boards, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Not a lot of rebounds for the Warriors in this one. No one had double figures. A couple of players, though, had 8 boards. Andrew Wiggins and Quentin Post with 8 rebounds tonight. Considering that Wiggins played 31 minutes and Quentin Post played 19 minutes, I got to give this one to the rookie, Quentin Post. He gets the honor of crashing the boards tonight. Again, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. 8 rebounds for Quentin Post. 3 of them came on the offensive glass. He was much better than on Wednesday, I'll say that. 9 points, 3 of 9 from the field, 2 for 4 from downtown. One area of his game is standing out as a negative, and it is his finishing around the rim, which is kind of rare to say for a 7-footer. He had a nice drive in the first half. After he made a 3, he passed up an open 3, oddly enough, and drove, and actually got to the rim, but then missed the layup, which is kind of the story of this Warriors season. One, good to see him dribble and get past somebody and get to the rim. Bad to see him miss the layup, and he missed a couple of other gimmies from down low, but he made a couple of 3s, and he grabbed those 8 boards. So he gets the honor, again, of crashing the boards, which is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. All right, that'll do it for Warriors wrap-up tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. We went a little long tonight, but that's because so many of you wanted to chime in and to further the conversation. Appreciate that as always. It's a big time for the Warriors. 2 more games before the trade deadline. The Warriors have Orlando on Monday. That game, let me double check. I would imagine it's 7 o'clock. I would be absolutely shocked if it's not. I'll confirm that time with you here in just a second. Warriors at home against Orlando, 7 o'clock on Monday, which means pregame coverage begins at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. Then the Warriors in Utah on Wednesday. Tip-off there is 6 Pacific time. Pregame coverage begins at 5. And And that's it for the Warriors before the deadline. They then play the Lakers in L.A. on Thursday at 7, 7 hours after the trade deadline comes and goes. So we'll be circling that Thursday date, of course. And the Warriors, I would imagine, before they take on LeBron, maybe AD, an abdominal strain earlier this week. We'll see if he's playing on Thursday. Before the Warriors take the floor at Crypto.com Arena in Southern California, I would imagine the Warriors have made a move, and we might have a team that looks a little bit different come that game on Thursday. And hey, you never know. Maybe it's different by the time we meet again, Warriors and Magic, Monday, February 3rd, from Chase Center. That game, of course, 7 o'clock tip. Pregame coverage begins at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, that'll do it for Warriors wrap-up tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you next time. Have a great weekend. Again, though, the Warriors fall to the Suns, 130-105. The Dubs back to 500 at 24-24. They've now been 18-18, 19-19, 20-20, 21-21, 22-22, 23-23, and now 24-24. This is a Warrior team that cannot put any distance between themselves and 500. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk next time. This is Mark Ranney signing off on 95.7 The Game.